Hello, hello. Welcome to CITR 101.9 FM. Situated on the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam people. I'm Miles Black, host of Chaotic Music Meetings. My pronouns are he, him. And today I am live in the studio with Ivory Towers, a.k.a. Quinn Rogers. Hey, Quinn.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
So this is a pre-recorded episode, which I've been doing more and more lately because it's a nice way to record without being live on air and the pressures of that.
Yeah, I have too much anxiety for that.
Me too. And I do it too often. So this is nice. We're just hanging out in Studio B at CITR. Quinn has just played a live set, which you just heard. And now we have a chance to hang out and talk.
Yay.
Quinn, I'm a big fan, and immediately something that really attracted me to your music was on Tumblr, you have described yourself as making music for misunderstood gorgons, 5,000 years old, she/her/swamp monster.
Yeah, that's me.
I love that.
Thank you.
And a lot of, well, I wouldn't say a lot of music, but there were some lyrics that really popped out at me that seemed to be referencing monsters or creatures of some kind.
I love creatures and I love monsters.
You do? Is that like an appropriate term, monster?
Yeah, I think so. I think monster can mean a lot of different things. I think, you know, there's like, sometimes a good reaction to feeling like a woman is, you know, in the beauty industrial complex is just be like, flip it and just be like, I'm a monster. I don't know, maybe people who are like kind of marginalized, like there's that whole like Pennywise and Babadook, like our gay thing. That's just like misunderstood, like being like, oh yeah, they're kind of like a misunderstood thing, or like just trying to understand a monster's perspective, like. Gorgons I got like really into during the album Vile because of Medusa and the idea that, you know, she's been traditionally known as a monster, but the idea that maybe she was just defending herself. Mm-hmm. She was just living peacefully in her little cave or whatever, and this dude comes in and cuts her head off. Like, why? She's just trying to live.
Yeah, a lot of the a lot of older myths to me seem to be misogynistic in that they kind of vilify women or turn sort of a male perspective of women into a monstrous figure.
Yeah,
like the Gorgons or like the Harpies.
Yeah, and the Harpies. Yeah, and it's also sometimes just like she's a powerful woman. You know, I admire her.
Right.
Good for her.
Right. Right. They're not always like. And in your music videos, I love your music videos.
Oh, thank you.
You've made quite a few of them at this point, and they're. I didn't know what to expect when you showed up. I didn't know what you would look like because in every music video, you've like completely transformed. And you do seem to be like playing with this monster imagery.
Yes.
In one scene you have black claw hands, like talons almost.
Yeah. That's the sandwiches video that I made last year for the new album. And the song is about domesticity, but finding like your safe space or comfort zone or whatever away from the world sometimes you can find that in your domestic life, either with a partner or with roommates or friends. And you can kind of protect each other. And so the idea of the video was that we're a couple of little monsters, and we're just kind of hanging out together and like having our little like safe little domestic life together.
Right.
Yeah.
I did wonder about that because it's like it's a kitchen scene, and you're like making pancakes, and you're a couple. It seemed. Well, I don't know, but this is two sort of figures, or
just two figures. Yeah,
we're actually in a kitchen.
We're like, I think we're kind of supposed to be roommates, but
right.
And we have cats and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of vague, you know.
And I wondered when watching it if it was meant to be like a critique of sort of domestic labor or like, or if it was, I think when you explain it now, it seems much more of like finding safe spaces within the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the whole album Queller was, is the album I put out first, Vile, I was just angry. And I was just taking shots at everybody. And then the world got even worse. And I was like, I don't know if I can be even angrier now. And I don't know if people want to hear more anger. Maybe, you know, we're all getting exhausted fighting all the time. Maybe we just need some places that you can like escape to for a minute, to like not weigh yourself down to the bone, you know, like what's a nice safe space. So I tried to make an album, at least partly, that was just like, oh, okay, everything's fine, comforting. I'm just gonna drink some hot chocolate and sit in my bed.
Yeah. When I was growing up, like albums were a place that I felt I could retreat to, where it was like an extended period of time where you're just kind of swept up in someone else's world.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think of songs like that? Like, are songs, can songs be safe spaces that you make for yourself?
Yeah, totally. Songs, I mean, at least the way I make them, they always are like a world, you know? And I try to create as much atmosphere as possible, and ideas through the lyrics to kind of make it into like a little world that you can immerse yourself into. And I think when you're listening to music where you feel understood, or, you know, makes you feel like not so alone in the world, that can totally be like your little safe space.
It's fascinating for me to think about songs as world building.
Totally.
Or it's like when you're laying down a track and building on it, it's like you're creating real atmosphere in the full sense of the word.
And that's why I love kind of the idea of like making almost like audioscapes, is you have, you know, lyrics and like a mood, but then you can like, I can sample like a waterfall and put it in there or something, you know, like you can play with the idea of how much of like this imaginary world are you actually creating in a song.
It reminds me of like people who do sound art for film.
Foley artists. If anybody knows a Foley artist, I desperately want to be friends with one.
Right.
Because
me too.
For like years I've been like, I just need to make some friends with some Foley artists, because I want to get in that Foley studio and do some Foleying.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I love that. Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you're already started on that path. Like, you are making your own Foley art in a way.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I want to just push it to the limit, you know. But
I know all the tricks.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing it to the best of my ability at the moment.
Do you also think of yourself as a visual artist? I mean, you seem to be doing some very interesting things with color in particular in your music videos.
Oh, thank you.
And it's especially like kind of related to the body. Like there's a scene where you have a mouth full of paint, or scenes where your hands are covered in paint.
In the Ether Aura video. Yeah, I mean, I kind of started as a visual artist and making music videos for other artists. And I think just being a musician, I mean, you have so much opportunity to make visual things. Like if I put out a release, it's like promo photo and the album art and the music video, and like you end up having to create a visual world kind of anyway. So I enjoy that aspect of it very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it does seem like you are world building, and like you're quite capable at it. Like you're giving people a lot.
I'm glad you think so. I'm still, you know, just doing my best. It's just me dragging my poor little sister and my girlfriend around, being like, "Let's go to the forest and film. Let's walk around, you know, where did we shoot? Like, Queen Elizabeth Park." Just like dragging them around Queen Elizabeth Park.
That's my favorite park.
It's where we filmed a bunch of the sandwiches video.
Oh, cool.
I dragged them both down to Portland.
Oh, yeah.
To get the filming with the other person who's in the video. So, yeah, it's just me dragging my poor little crew around.
That does seem like a good crew, though, like in a very comfortable way to make...
A lovely little crew that... don't get paid anything.
Yeah, I'm also guilty of making my friends do things for free when I was starting out.
Yeah. You know, I can't film it by myself, so.
Yeah.
It's doing what I can.
And it means then that, like, the project must be imbued with love because you're working with people who just want to help you with your passion project.
It's true. Yeah. Hmm. As much as maybe they get annoyed by me, but they're there to help.
Cool. Well, I'm going to take a quick break, if that's okay,
yes.
And just go to a track. I want to play a track by Redress, because Redress has a new album out called Above All Else. And if you didn't hear the episode with Redress, we recorded in this same room months ago. And Redress is also playing Verbotenfest, which Ivory Towers is playing in April.
Yes.
That is in April, right?
It's in April. April 13th to 15th, I think?
Oh, yeah. Wait, I've got it here. April 11th to 14th. So close.
I'm so close.
At the Astoria and the Rickshaw. Yeah, okay. So this is the song Bell by Redress.
Did you know UBC students get 20% off organic, farm-fresh produce from the UBC farm? Come by the farm and eat local. Really, really local. Supported by British Columbia's Buy BC program.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Chaotic Music Minions on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Bell by Redress off their album Above All Else. And I'm sitting talking to Quinn from Ivory Towers.
Hello.
Or I'm sitting talking to Quinn, who is Ivory Towers,
I
should say.
Who I am.
Okay, so we've been talking about your music videos and the imagery you use in them. We've been talking about color. I really want to ask you about some of your lyrics, if that's okay. From the song Somnambula / Dream Fasting.
Yes.
Which is automatic.
Somnambula.
Excuse me. there's a line that says, I have dreams of blood falling in sheets. Sometimes I fit in to survive.
Mm-hmm. And normal.
I mean, dreams.
Dreams. So, yeah, I mean, Somnambula is like kind of a reference to dreams, and dream fasting is a reference to dreams. One is from My Little Pony and one is from The Dark Crystal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
old My Little Pony, though, original.
Somnambula is from My Little Pony?
Somnambula was like a bad guy.
Oh.
Apparently. I found it on the internet somehow, as one does. And so, yeah, this song is about, I've always had really, really violent dreams, horrible nightmares. And blood falling in sheets is actually like reference to a nightmare I had when I was a kid, that this pregnant woman was walking across the street at night and a car hit her, and it was just like a tidal wave of blood. So those were my dreams. And
and there was something that like just came to you in a dream, like that something your own brain sort of made up. I guess.
Yeah. I'd never seen that in my young life, but my brain decided to just show me some really violent stuff.
Yeah.
As it does.
As it does sometimes.
A lot. So I was kind of thinking about how I deal with things in dreams, because I'm always having like monsters chasing me and finding myself in a room full of, you know, whatever, zombies or ghosts that were trying to kill me. And one of the methods I came up with was to just pretend I was one of them, and kind of try to sneak out, which, you know, is a survival mechanism that I came up with in dreams. I also came up with like this weird image I would create in my brain, like since I was like 6 years old, that would like help me wake up. But I kind of was like, well, you know, what does that mean? Do I do that in real life? And in the song, I kind of compare it to a brief time in grade school when I tried to just thought maybe if I befriend the popular girls, they will stop being assholes. That did not work.
So in that case, do you think like the monsters were the popular kids?
I mean, that's in my dreams, I'm dealing with popular kids in the form of monsters. Maybe. I have no idea where it comes from. It's possible. But then it was like, you know, I don't know if that's the best strategy. And it's like, I don't know what other people do when they, like, what do you do if you're being chased by a monster in a dream?
I also had a lot of dreams like that when I was a kid, and like persistent nightmares that would play over and over again that I couldn't seem to like shake. And one, I was being chased by a werewolf, which is like a very classic kind of movie monster. And I remember getting really obsessed with creature features growing up, like Frankenstein and Dracula and Creature from the Black Lagoon.
And is that because you were having dreams about werewolves that you started watching horror? Because I have, like, in my adult life, then started watching horror because it's like, well.
I honestly think.
When in Rome.
Or, like, what are you going to do with all these horrible images? Like, sometimes if you spend time with them in a way that you actually enjoy, that helps.
Maybe, yeah. And then it's like, I don't know, I also find horror movies so fascinating. Like, they're some of the best kind of fantasy movies that exist, and so much of the time they end up being like kind of these amazing metaphors. And so I do enjoy them. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. What did you do? Did you just run from the werewolf?
Yeah, it was always like just like running through a forest at night, and I don't think it ever caught up to me, but it was always like so close behind, and it would just end the same way it started, basically. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think that monsters is like what happens to, it's like what your brain tries to put together when something gets more complicated than human, or if you're like expressing a part of yourself that people around you aren't accepting, or that you don't like even recognize as human, then it can sometimes turn into this sort of monster fantasy. I don't know if that makes any sense, but yeah, I think it's almost like it's a way for us to live with the sort of uncomfortable aspects of ourselves.
Yeah, that the monsters are all aspects of yourself.
Yeah, and in a lot of your music videos, I see like it's you, but also you have monstrous features, or like you're in some sort of state of going from one to the other.
I think that might be part of the whole turning into the monster thing too, like either like in the dream somnambula scenario of like I'll just become one of them, or just like being like that other kind of thing of like I'm gonna make myself not even human anymore, I'm gonna remove myself from whatever the male gaze or whatever, and just become like a freakish entity.
And it's so easy to really blur the lines between like, well, what is human and what is not human, and what are these monsters, or what are we expressing with that?
Something I love doing, at least with this album, is all of the monstrous features I've been doing have been almost entirely from birds.
Okay.
Like the red eyes, lots of birds have red eyes, like a black swan or a wood duck, or there's so many of them. And then the claws are like crow claws.
Right.
So I kind of like how, I mean, I'm obsessed with nature, so I kind of like the idea of how absolutely bizarre and freakish and alien nature can be. Mm-hmm. And then if you take that and put it on a person, it's just like the alien horror movie.
Yeah. That reminds me of, there's this Isabella Rossellini book called Green Porno, where she's talking about like the different sort of mating habits of sea life and sea creatures.
They're just
wild. Yeah.
It's going to be gnarly.
Yeah. And then she's like acting them out and playing parts as different sea creatures.
Yeah.
It also reminds me of Bird Alien, the Walgren album.
Love Walgren.
Yeah, me too.
She's lovely.
That's cool because when I saw the cover of Queller with your red eyes and in the music video, I thought it was more of a demon look than a bird. But
people have told me that they find it very scary, which I didn't intend. I didn't think it looked scary. I just thought it looked cool.
I think it looks beautiful.
But it's
it's like it's I don't know. I don't even know if it is scary to me. It's just demon is what kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah, no, it's just like it's about birds. That's what it was. It was like, but like the alien, which is hilarious with the Walgren album cover. But yeah, like the alienness of birds
and the non-humanness of birds.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
How much time do we have left?
We've got a few minutes.
Okay.
Maybe like 3 minutes or so.
Okay. What are we going to talk about for 3 minutes?
I don't know. I like Queller, the title of the album. Mm. And to my mind, quell means like to forcibly subdue or suppress.
Mm. I think that's one of the definitions, I think it doesn't have to necessarily be forceful, but it definitely does mean like to suppress something, but it can also like just quiet something down.
Right.
I kind of got it a little bit from a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a demon called the Queller. And I think it's a cool word, but also it's supposed to be like that safe space, peaceful moment, just like, just quiet things down, just like, just quiet it down for a minute.
So it can be like when something sort of quiets down naturally, like a storm calming.
I think something has to calm it.
Okay.
So you quell a riot, or you can, like, I think you could quell a child's cries, but you don't have to do that forcibly.
Yeah, it's like a soothing almost.
Yeah, I think so. But that's kind of what it was kind of meant to be, of like just quiet down. Just,
yeah.
The world is horrible. And sometimes you just want to quell, just quiet it down, just let yourself exist for a moment without being enraged by everything. Because, I mean, we're all probably constantly enraged by everything and really also very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Now I'm just depressed.
Yeah, I had the band Necking on a couple weeks ago, and I think I asked them, like, do you have rage? Like, when you're on stage, do you have rage you want to express? And I think they do to some extent, but also when I asked them, they were just so, like, I think they were tired and tired of rage. And, like,
yes.
So we didn't talk about it much.
Yes. Well, I had so much rage when I did Vile. That is my rage album. I was like, singing about eating the rich and eating men, and like you notice the lyric using blood like lipstick. That was kind of the idea, just like destroy the patriarchy, destroy capitalism, destroy it all, like just burn it to the ground, rage, and then the world got worse, and then I was like, well, maybe we need something quiet. And now that I've done that and I've released the album, now I'm just tired and depressed.
Right. Yeah. We were talking about that too off mic, of how like that often happens with albums. Like the downward spiral after you release it.
I noticed I was like putting stuff on social media. And then I was like, I haven't posted on social media, and it's because I'm depressed. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking maybe I should tweet that. And then I was like, no, I'm just going to bum everybody out. But maybe, yeah, but you were saying maybe other musicians feel that too. Is like you like put so much time and energy into a release, and then you put it out there, and then it's just done. And then you're like, oh.
Right.
Okay. Well, what now?
Yeah, exactly.
The world is burning, and...
And especially when, like, you've created an album in response to a feeling, or, like, you feel like, I need to get this out. Once you don't need to get that out anymore, you understandably feel kind of deflated.
Yeah, yeah. You gave birth to this big baby, and now the big baby's just out there, and you're
doing
just...
doing its thing. Do you... one last question before we go. Do you think of yourself as the Queller? Like, is that an action you're doing, or is that the album?
The album, maybe. I don't know if I'm the Queller. It's the album. It all, you know, just goes through me. I'm the conduit.
And I guess you can't be the Queller all the time. Like, you have other things to do.
I mean, I'm told that I can be very diplomatic.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm try to diffuse situations when people are upset. Mm-hmm. So maybe in a little bit I am, but I'm also can fly off the handle and fly into rants and rages fairly often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody says something that makes me crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I spent quite a lot of time listening to Queller, and I love it. But
thank you.
Now I really want to spend more time with Vile, just because I want to hear that too. Like, I want to hear
my rage.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, it probably doesn't come across that way. Like I was saying to you also off air that like my lyrics are so unintentionally opaque that I think people don't realize what I'm talking about. Like, mm-hmm. Purity Control is a song about having an abortion. No one caught onto that because I was not clear enough. Mm-hmm. So I am kind of like throwing all this stuff out there, but then I think people listen to it and they're like, oh, it sounds pretty. Like, no. No, it's about burning everything down.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to be more clear.
And is that something that, like, do you want that to come across on the first listen? Like, are you changing the way that you write, or?
I have been trying to, but maybe I'm cursed, but I have been trying to be more clear or more just in your face, this is what this is about, but I don't know if I'm succeeding. Maybe I should just later, I should just ask you what you think all the songs are about, and you can tell me if I'm succeeding in any way.
Well, it's a problem that I have too. Like, I think I've said this on my show before, that like when I write lyrics, they're usually cryptic, and I don't even mean them to be. It's just like that's how it comes out, and
yeah.
There's certain things I want to talk about, but not really feeling brave enough to be explicit about.
Or it's just hard. I was like, when I started, I was like, I'm going to be Tori Amos, Little Earthquakes era. I'm going to just, like, get it all out.
Yeah.
And then you actually try to write it, and you're like, I don't know how to, like, write this in a way that doesn't sound stupid or cheesy, and
right.
And then things end up getting more opaque, and then it's just heaps of metaphor and nobody knows what you're talking about anymore.
Yeah.
Which is also what happened to Tori Amos.
Well, I think the content is there, like, for whoever wants to visit it. Like,
maybe see if you can find out what my songs are about.
Yeah.
Go to my Bandcamp. It's got all the lyrics on it.
And how can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you?
You can just tweet me. You can comment on my Instagram. I'm all over the internet. Please let me know if I'm succeeding. I'm probably not.
I think you're doing great work.
I'll send you a CD if you win.
Nice. Cool. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for.
Okay.
But Quinn, thank you so much for being here and for setting up and playing.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this has been Chaotic Music Meetings, brought to you by Privileged White Male Punks. They're really angry about what's happening to everyone else. Have a good day, whatever day this is, whatever day we really end up releasing this. Much love.
Love you.
Mwah.
Mwah.